Good morning. Thank you so much for trudging through the snow this morning to join us. It's so good to be here with you. My name is Pastor Becky. In a moment, you'll meet my husband, Pastor Kevin, and together we are co-campus pastors of the East Aurora campus. Revive is one church, but we have five campuses, and we're so thrilled that you have joined us for worship this morning. As Josh Harkey, our worship director, told you, it is December, it is Advent, it is all things Christmas, and so we just want to let you in on some things that are going on at and around Revive in our communities during this holiday season. First of all, there is out in the lobby, there's a table that has all things Christmas on it. One of those things is an Advent guide. And so this is for you to, it has daily readings, it has what you can read if you have your own Advent wreath and candles at home, what you can read as you light those candles on a weekly basis. There are weekly family activities that you can do with children and teens. And so that's free. Just grab it out at the Christmas table on your way out this morning. And also want to let you know about the giving tree, which is also on that table. The way that we do it here in East Aurora is we work together with, we partner with the ROC, the Rural Outreach Center, to provide for their gifts, educational quality gifts that they have picked out for their kids and teens program. So what you can do, you can either grab an ornament and take it home with you, or you can just scan the QR code. That will take you to an Amazon gift list that their director has picked out toys that would best benefit the children in their care, children and teens. And so you can go shopping, you can pick whatever you want from the gift list, you can select to have it delivered straight to the ROC. And so it's a really simple, straightforward way in order to help them and others in our community. We're also partnering actually with local businesses, so you might see those trees in some of the local businesses in East Aurora. If you like to shop locally and you want to support the community that way, you can go to a local store, Toy Loft, Vidler's, whatever, grab a gift card, and then there's a red box under the Christmas tree out there. You can just put that gift card in there, and we will provide it to the ROC for you. So that is how we are doing the giving tree. And also just want to let you know about Carolcade. That is something that happens in East Aurora. The town puts it on, but how Revive is involved in that is we show up at 6:30, so half an hour early, and we help to hand out programs, maybe hot chocolate if they need our help in that. And then we stay just for maybe 15 minutes afterwards to help pick up. But it is such a unique experience. How many of you have been to Carolcade before? Okay, good. Invite somebody who didn't raise their hand, because what it is you feel like you go back in time, and the whole community gathers from 7 to 8 p.m. to sing carols together. It's a really wonderful time. There's different Christmas characters that walk around, and it's just got a wonderful festive feel. That's the Saturday before Christmas on the 21st. We as Revive want to partner with the community events to let them know that we're here. And we care, and so we seek to do that in that way. And then, of course, we have our Christmas Eve services, which once again will be at the theater on Main Street, not only for space reasons, we go and have two services there so that we can fit everybody, but we also recognize that not everyone feels comfortable coming to church. And that for some people, and they have very valid reasons, coming to church feels uncomfortable, awkward, it brings up maybe even bad memories, they don't want to do it. But coming to a theater, boy, they might just do that. So we have provided for you invites so that you can bring some invites, hand them out to family or friends or coworkers for our two services on Christmas Eve at the theater at 2 p.m. and at 4 p.m. And so these are just little, you know, things that maybe you just make a plate of cookies and invite your neighbor. And I'm not saying bribe people to Christmas Eve. I'm just saying, you know, whatever you think, we'll leave it to your discernment. But those are out there on that table as well. And then lastly, our December newsletter was on every other seat, but maybe somebody took yours if you want one to know what's been going on. Just our monthly update, those are out at the Connection Center. As you may know, one of our traditions at Revive is to have a weekly Advent reading. And because we have multiple campuses, each week we have a family from a different campus do the Advent reading. And so this morning, check out the TV screen, we will have the Advent reading done by a family in our Springville Crossing campus.
Hi, we are the Beyer family from Springville, and this is our week one Advent reading. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abia. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside.
Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people to Israel, to the Lord their God, and he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make a ready people prepared for the Lord."
Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe in my words, which will come true at their appointed time."
Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion.
Let us pray. Dear God, as we light this candle on the first week of Advent, we come to you to ask you to forgive us all our sins and help us all to remember the true meaning of this season, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, good morning. It is great to see you. Hopefully you had a good Thanksgiving. And if we've never met, my name is Kevin, and it's just a privilege to be co-campus pastor with Becky. And the snow is here. This is the time we want it, though, right? Not like in February, March, April, May. No, this is when we want it, right now. And we're glad that you're here, that you made it out. And I heard last week, I was away last week to a father-son getaway weekend. My son and I went out to Indianapolis, but I heard baptisms were last week and testimonies. And there were 9 people who got baptized between our 2 services here, including a spontaneous baptism at the second service, which was amazing. And so if you were baptized, congratulations. I wish I could have been here. And I think across our 5 campuses last week, I think there was like 46 baptisms, I think, across campus. So this was a great weekend. Could we give our baptism, those who were baptized, a round of applause, those who were baptized? Congratulations. It's always one of my favorite times. My son and I, every year we go for the last 5 or 6 years out to Indianapolis. My friend out there is one of the coaches for the Colts, and I'm a Bills fan, don't get me wrong, but we have a chance to just hang out, go to a game out there, and just spend the weekend together, father, son, and then I let him invite a friend, and then the dad comes as well, and so we had a chance to just do that, and it was great. Long time in the car, but it was fun. It was a good time, but good to be back, and today is the first week of Advent. Hard to believe, but it is, and Advent really is... It means coming or arrival. And so when you think about Advent, Advent is the 4-week period leading up to Christmas. It's a time for us to look back, to remember that very first Christmas when baby Jesus was born, when he came into the world, when Jesus entered the world, Emmanuel, God with us. But it's also a time to look ahead, for us to anticipate his second coming. And that's where we live now. Not just to look back, but to look ahead, to know that he will come back, that he promised he will, and when he does, he'll make everything right. Every wrong, every pain, every hurt will be made right. And so we look forward to that day. And that's the season that we are celebrating now. And what's so interesting about the Christmas story, that first Christmas story, is the setting and the people that make up that story when Jesus was born, because they were quite ordinary. Zechariah, who we're going to study today, who we read about when we read the scripture in Luke about the Advent wreath the first week here, Zechariah was an ordinary guy. He was at work when he heard an angel saying, hey, there's something going to be happening. I want to give you the first heads up on this. He was just at work, an ordinary day. Mary and Joseph, they were an engaged couple going about their business when they got news from, an angel separately, and then together that they were going to be parents. And then Jesus, he was born during a time when there was a government census, which was a normal thing that was happening. And people were, going to their hometowns to go. Can you imagine doing that, having to travel back to your hometown today? Going to their hometown just to let people know, yep, this is how many are in our family. This is what we're about. They were going about their business. And Jesus was born in a backwater town with no significance, an ordinary town, Bethlehem. And just like they normally did every single day, shepherds, every day out in the fields taking care of their flocks at night. And they heard about the birth of Jesus by angels. And so as we learn throughout this series, which we've entitled Extraordinary, is that in the midst of the ordinary, God's extraordinary plan breaks through. Think about that. In our everyday ordinary activities, including the people you mentioned in that first Christmas story, something was different because God broke through and brought an extraordinary news and the plan of how to save us as a people on that very first Christmas. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, okay, Kevin, so that we're talking about extraordinary with ordinary situations and places and people. That sounds great. I believe that God works in my home. I believe he works in my home and my neighborhood and my community. But I want you to just think for a moment here this morning. I wonder if you can believe that about one more place in particular, your work. Maybe you think, well, I don't really do much. This is my normal job. This is what I do every single day. But do you believe God can do the extraordinary even at your work? Whether your work is an office, a garage, maybe a desk at your house, or maybe you're raising kids, you're a mom, you're a parent, maybe your dad. Maybe going to school, if you're in that, that's your work, what you do. Or maybe even volunteering. Because here's what I want you to know, that God can meet you there. Maybe you're even retired and you get to kind of pick what your work looks like. God can meet you there. So I'm going to ask if you just bow your heads as we start with a word of prayer. God, thank you for this season of Advent that we get to look back and celebrate that very first Christmas and also look ahead knowing with anticipation, Jesus, that you are coming back. And I pray as we live in the in-between the times that we would make the most of each day, that everything, including our work, may we know that it has significance. And though it may seem mundane or ordinary, you want to show up there. And so I pray as we look at Zechariah's story, help us to see how our story parallels with his and to see you do amazing things beginning today, this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at Luke chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the third book in the New Testament. There's a Bible in the chair in front of you. You can pull that out, or if you have a Bible you brought, or obviously the Bible app, we'll have the scriptures on the screen as well. But today, Luke chapter 1, it really takes place months before Mary was to give birth to Jesus for that first Christmas morning. It actually starts out, this story starts out with her much older cousin, Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah. And then Luke chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says this, that both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing the law, all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. In other words, they were righteous, they followed God, they worshiped God. But an important note, that they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. So there's a little bit of context of where we're going today as the Christmas story begins. And in addition, Zechariah, he was a priest, and his job was to periodically be called to service, to work in the temple at Jerusalem. And this is the setting as we pick up in verse 8 of Luke chapter 1. It says this, just one day, once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was assigned there, and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. When the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. So Zechariah is going to work. He's chosen. He gets to go into the temple, and he gets to burn incense. Now, burning incense by a priest was something that was they were chosen to do on a regular basis, and it was a part of their job. And to burn incense really symbolized the prayers that were rising up to God. As smoke rises up, it represented the prayers of not just the priest, but all those even gathered outside the temple, as it describes here, those who were worshiping. And so Zechariah is really just doing his job when something extraordinary happens. Let's pick up in verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, this is Zechariah, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear. Can you imagine that scene? But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. And he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah," who was a prophet that everyone knew about, "to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." And the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Okay, there's a lot of scripture there. Maybe you've heard this before. Let's kind of break down what's happening here. So Zechariah is going about his job, and suddenly this angel shows up. And I don't know about you, but angels don't typically show up when I'm at work very often for me. And when I say very often, I mean like not at all, unless that's for you. So he's just in awe as he's just doing his regular what he does. He's burning incense. He's praying on behalf of the people, his role, his job. And it's no wonder that Zechariah has a tough time taking all this in, because the angel doesn't just come. That's one thing. But then he shares some unbelievable good news that his wife Elizabeth would give birth to a child. And this is a child that she would have in her old age, something that was their heart's desire that they've been praying for. But this is not just any child. This is John the Baptist, who you read about, who said, "Prepare the way of the Lord," who said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Set the stage. He was the road sign saying, "Jesus is coming after me." He was the billboard shouting, "This is the guy that I'm preparing the way for. He's why I'm here, to make things right for him." And this child would be filled with the Holy Spirit, still in the womb. Isn't that an interesting detail? Even at conception. And the Holy Spirit would enable John to bring people back to God, to turn the hearts of parents back to their children, and to help the disobedient turn to wise, righteous living. That's a lot, but it's a crucial phrase, crucial verses there, because what it does is it connects the promise that's made the last few verses of the Old Testament in Malachi. If you could just go back a couple chapters even, or a couple books to the last verses of Malachi, chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, this is the exact phrasing it describes between the section where you actually go from the Old Testament to the New Testament. That page that's often blank represents 400 years. It was the fulfillment of what God said through the prophet Malachi, that someone's coming who's going to do this. He's going to turn the hearts of parents back to their children and help the disobedient turn to wise, righteous living. This is John. So all of this, All this news was to make way for the coming of God's Son, Jesus. Now, as we continue this story, I want you to notice a couple things. Notice how the focus shifts in the text from not just Zechariah's work at the temple, but it's going to shift to Elizabeth's work as a mom, then to John's work. So this focus starts with the temple, and then it goes into the home, and then it goes out into the world. And it's important to note because for many people, they struggle to take what they know to be true in times like this, in times of worship, settings like this on Sunday mornings, and carry it on into their home. And they struggle even more so to take it into places where they work every day. But that's why this passage is so important to look at. It shows us that God considers it all, times and settings like this, times in our homes and times at our work. He considers it all to be his work in us. What if we considered our places of work as holy places, where God wants to meet us just like he does in this setting, where we not just gather here on Sunday mornings, but what if Monday mornings are just as sacred as Sunday mornings? See, we spend a lot of our time working, but how much do we consider God's work at our work? Not just working in us and on us, but through us in those settings as well. What if we were so filled with the Holy Spirit that we brought the Holy Spirit into our workplaces in a way that others begin to take notice? And they say, there's just something different. People say that about our gatherings we gather. There's something different. There's a spirit here because it's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit goes wherever we go as followers of Christ, those who put our faith and trust in him. And what if we approached our work in such a way that knowing that God has placed us at our places of work to prepare people's heart for what he wants to do, in the same way to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Not so much the first advent, but the second advent when Christ will return again. And we have as much access to the Holy Spirit as John the Baptist did. So it's not unreasonable for us to believe that the Holy Spirit can work at our work as well. If you're taking notes, here's the big idea of today. That God is with us in our work. Not so we can just get more money or get a promotion or be accomplished and be a smashing success. No, God is with us in our work so that he can work through us at work. So how did Zechariah bring what he experienced in the temple to the outside world? Well, let's pick up in verse 21. The story continues. That as this happened, this experience where he couldn't speak, meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, guess where he went? He returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth indeed became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. So what did Zechariah do? Well, he took what he learned in worship, at his work even, and he brought it home. He was silent, and Elizabeth became pregnant, all because of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you are saying, I wish God did that miracle in my husband's life. He was silent for a long time. Right? Some of you, no, that's a side note. That's not in the scriptures. But what happened, happened. The angel said it, God spoke through the angel, and it happened, both the pregnancy and also his silence. Let's look at Elizabeth's work. Notice how Elizabeth responds to the good news. She withdraws in seclusion, and she gives God honor. We're going to read even more about this in a moment. And she goes about a different kind of work than her husband, but it's no less sacred. For 9 months and for years, Elizabeth would take on the work of mothering. And in that work, I have no doubt that she found deep communion and close relationship with God in the good and the bad and in the hard and in the joyful times of being a mom. And the name John in Greek means that God is a gracious giver. And so while Zechariah is silent, Elizabeth is given a voice in her culture. And she uses her voice to worship and to honor God because she's been given the work of motherhood. And word begins to spread, as we'll read in just a moment. But first, I want to ask you, how will you use your voice in your work, at your work? Maybe you are the low man or woman on the totem pole at your work. That's okay. Gain influence and gain trust by working hard with integrity, seeking the good of the company or your business or wherever your place of employment is, and develop and strengthen your relationships with your coworkers. Maybe God has you there for them, not just to make money. And as you gain influence, leverage it for God's work, to create a healthy work culture, for honest business practices, for serving others over the bottom line, and putting work in its proper place when you go think about spiritual practices of rest and play and Sabbath, because God is with you at your work. Or perhaps maybe you've been at your job for a while and you have influence, but you're not using it because you're not sure how well you'll be received, or you're very comfortable and you don't want to just rock the boat or, you know, upset anything that's already happening. However, if you notice that someone's being mistreated in your place of employment or being bullied at your school if you're a student, or know about a dishonest business practice that's taking place that you don't agree with, ask God that he would have you to do and how to speak truth and grace. What does that look like? Don't be afraid to step up and advocate for change and know that God is with you, because God is with you at your work. Or perhaps it just means exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit at work, so that your workplace is a bit more loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, it's good, faithful, self-controlled. Or if your work is primarily raising a family, maybe you're feeling overwhelmed of what it looks like to raise kids in this day, to have kids who have strong faith in this world. There are so many conflicting viewpoints and choices to make. What clubs or activities or sports should they be involved in, and how much is too much, and how much is just enough in the pace of life, of rhythm, and other kids? Or what do I teach my kids about identity and sexuality, which seems more complicated today than for any of us when I was growing up? Or how do I help my kids make wise choices and choose the right relationships and friends to have, and how to keep God a high priority? Mom and dads, I want to encourage you that you do not parent alone, that you co-parent with the Holy Spirit. Stay connected to the Holy Spirit just as a baby is connected to a mother or to a father, that the Holy Spirit will teach you and guide you and give you all that you need in the journey ahead. You are not doing this alone. Or maybe you're retired and you get to pick your work day, what it looks like. And sometimes it's around the people that you choose and the things that you want to do. May you use your influence and your gifts and your skills to serve and love those around you in this season. That there's always something to do. And maybe God has positioned you at this time to be able to pick what that even looks like day to day. Don't miss the opportunity. God is with us in our work. It's His work anyway. And so let's wrap up the story and look at Elizabeth's work of parenting in verse 57. It says this: when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." And they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." And then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. And he asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." And immediately, in that moment, his mouth opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. And all the neighbors were filled with awe. And throughout the whole hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. Now, there's so many amazing things about this passage. It's a story that kind of gets tucked on the front end of the Christmas story. But as we see this, we see that this righteous couple, they followed God's directions over the customs of their people, even in naming the child. And in doing so, they gained a voice not just to their neighbors locally, but literally and figuratively to the entire region. And their situation caused quite a stir to surrounding communities. And this was all in an effort for God to pave the way, to have John the Baptist be the one to say, "I'm here to prepare the way for the one who's following me, whose name is Jesus." God with us, Emmanuel. And so Elizabeth and Zechariah would take up the work of parenting a child who had a great destiny ahead of him. And they would do that normal, everyday, ordinary task of changing him and feeding him and helping him to grow up to accomplish God's work. And John the Baptist, as I said, paved the way for the birth and the life of Jesus, the light of the world, to enter in on that very first Christmas story. May this Advent be an awakening for all of us, how we view our workplaces, that God is still taking ordinary people, just like he did that first Christmas story, and doing extraordinary things. That our workplaces may not seem unique, or maybe they are unique, not because of what they are, but because of who is a part of them. You and me. We, you and I, we are the bride of Christ, the church. And where the church is, the Spirit of God is. And so Emmanuel, God with us, came and is with us, even in our ordinary jobs. God is with us in our work. And the good news is that's extraordinary, because he can take anything and do incredible, miraculous things. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up, because we're going to sing a song in just a moment. I just want to pray. God, we thank you for this story in the beginning of our Advent season of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Thank you, God, how you choose to use ordinary things to do extraordinary things. And you still do that today. You take our coming and our going. You take our times of gathering together as a church body and a family together here. You use our neighborhoods, and you use our play, but you even use our work to show yourself to us. So I pray for a reawakening for us as we view our work. That, God, sometimes it can just seem like, what am I doing, depending on even what our job is, and just there's things about every job that none of us love, and there's other things that we do love. But may we see a bigger picture, the reality of, God, you are working, and you are with us at our work. God, I pray for each person here that maybe there's just a hard-heartedness towards some people at work. Would you break open that hard-heartedness, and would you allow us to see this as a place that you've positioned us? And God, would your Spirit fill us so that we can see the transformation happening in the places where we work, not because of anything that we do on our own, because where you are, as we invite you into our lives, that nothing is impossible. I pray that our workplaces would be a place where your Spirit is seen and felt. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, would you stand as we sing together to wrap up our time?